Welcome to the Team Us podcast. We're Ted and Ashley Slater.
As couples, we all want to win in marriage, right? And we don't mean in a who's right or who's wrong sort of way, but together as a united team.
Oneness in marriage isn't always easy, though. Sometimes it's really hard. It can be a struggle to stay connected and face the difficulties of everyday life together.
If we're not intentional, it's easy for the us, the you and me, to quickly become you versus me.
Well, this podcast is all about marriage as a team and how to live the everyday moments of your marriage together. We'll share honestly and humorously with you about the betters and the worst of our marriage. You'll hear how grace, commitment, cooperation, and lots of laughter have helped us stay united.
Plus, in every episode, you'll also get some practical tips and tools to apply to your marriage.
We want to see your Team Us win. We're cheering you on, so let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Team Us podcast.
This is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, today we're talking about how the friends we keep make a difference in our marriages. That it's not only important that we as couples have community, but also that we're purposeful in whom we bring into our confidence. So we're going to share what we call a friendship inventory that we can use to make sure that we're confiding in the right people. Plus, if you're listening and you're struggling to even have the right people in your life, we'll share some ways you can seek out those kinds of friendships. So, yes.
Friendship inventory.
Yes.
You saw me looking inquisitive.
Uh-huh. I was like, you want to say something?
Yeah, I do. Friendship inventory almost sounds judgmental.
Does it?
Well, I mean,
it could. So. It sounds very formal.
Like if I have like this a list of all my friends and have them on a chart, and I guess we'll get into this. I'm getting ahead of myself.
But no, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
It's not judgmental.
It's not
just
meant to
being
be judgmental.
Thoughtful and wise,
right?
And we don't even know what it is yet because we haven't talked about it.
Right. I just like to name things.
It's a good name.
We have
friendship
what our
inventory,
our 49-51% policy.
Is the classic sandwich, communication sandwich. Although that's not our term, but
right. All right. Well,
friendship inventory. Let's talk about that. That's
good.
But
before we dig into explain what the inventory is, I think we have to address: does it really make a big difference in our marriages who our friends are?
Mm.
And I say yes.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Apostle Paul even quotes the Greek proverb that says, bad company corrupts good morals. And I think a lot of times we apply that to kids and teenagers and college students.
Right.
We don't really apply it so much to ourselves as married couples. Mm. You know, sometimes we think that, oh, we're adults. We're not as susceptible to, you know, bad influence.
Right.
But we are. And a lot of times we don't even realize it. And the thing is that even though we might not be hanging out with people who clearly fit within the label of bad company, if they don't esteem marriage and seek to encourage us in our relationship with our spouse, it might be that they're corrupting some of our good character. Their attitudes might be negatively affecting the ways that we think about marriage.
Sure. Sure. I can see that. I don't have a lot of friends that would be considered bad character, bad company, but I can't even think of any of them that would negatively affect the way I behave in my marriage or the way I treat you.
But I think that's
hypothetically
because, right. But I think that's because we've been very intentional about where we seek out the friends.
And because my friends might listen to this podcast, and I certainly would not want any of them to think, wait, was that me? No, that's not true. I honestly can't think of any friends who would are bad for our marriage.
Yeah, well, and I think we have to clarify that what we're saying here is that
intimate friends, close friends?
These are the close friends.
The close
these are
friends,
the friends.
Right.
These are not all your friends. These are the friends that you might go to when you're struggling in your relationship with your spouse and you feel like you need counsel, wise counsel from someone.
Makes sense. So
yeah.
I have friends at work. I have friends at, you know, that I meet at Starbucks or whatever. But
right. This is not, let's inventory all your friends and make sure they all fit into these things that we're going to talk
just
about.
Go down the list in Facebook, all 300 of them. Like, no, yes.
No, these are the friends that you are the closest to and you would consider confiding in.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
Right. And so this does not mean that you need to cut every friend who has ever joked about marriage, you know, or put a meme up about marriage. We're just saying that we need to be careful about the friends we turn to as confidants or influencers. And so there are like three things that I think we can ask ourselves when we're trying to figure out, is this a friend that should be in that circle of those that I confide in?
That's good. Let's do it.
So the first thing on our friendship inventory, which now I keep thinking, oh, is that sound judgmental?
I'm just trying to trip you up.
Yeah, well, it's working. The first thing we can ask ourselves is, does this friend esteem marriage?
That's a pretty foundational question.
Right. And I think that, you know, esteem means to think well about it, to speak well about it, to have a positive view.
Not be cynical about it.
Right. I mean,
some people are cynical about marriage.
Yeah.
The old ball and chain, you know?
I think about when, after we had our oldest, I had a craving for some tacos or, you know, chicken quesadilla from a certain fast food restaurant. And
That place rings a bell.
Right. And I think I asked you to go get me some. And so you walked across the street from the hospital and went there. And when you walked in and you're waiting in line, I think it was, what was it? There was an employee who was newly engaged.
Yeah. And somehow it came out that he was, he got engaged, he was getting married, and he looked happy. And some of his coworkers were like joking about it. And I think they may have used the phrase ball and chain, you know, I'm sorry for you. The good part of your life is going to be over. And did I mention something? I think I did mention something. I said to him, you know, marriage is great. I love my marriage. It's been good for me. And we're having a baby right across the street. And I think you'll have a great time in your marriage. You know, I think you're making a good decision.
Yeah. And I remember what you told me he said to you. He said, thank you. You are the first person who has been encouraging. And here's the thing that I think about is those were his coworkers. I mean, didn't he have friends and family? Were none of his friends and family encouraging?
I think people to be lighthearted and make jokes. And when somebody talks about something as serious as marriage and getting married, maybe that's where they go to make light of the situation. Or maybe they really mean it. Maybe they really are cynical and they've had bad experiences and want everybody else to stay away because obviously it's a bad institution.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those coworkers and I guess whoever else he was talking to,
you're dragging them down.
They weren't esteeming marriage.
No, certainly.
They weren't speaking well of it. Mm-mm. And we need friends who will think and speak well of marriage and encourage us to finish well together, which is what we're going to talk about in the next episode is finishing well. So how can we determine if a friend esteems marriage? I think listening to their words is a big thing because, you know, what's in our heart comes out in our words. So, you know, if this friend is married, listen to how they speak about their spouse when their spouse isn't around. Also how they act, you know, notice their actions both in person and on social media. How do they treat their spouse in public? Or what type of memes and blog posts do they share about marriage? You know, do they paint an overall encouraging view of marriage or do they mock it?
That's good. And again, it doesn't mean you have to unfriend them or don't spend time with them, but just be alert to the fact that maybe if they're giving you counsel or giving you an advice or, you know, saying something that might affect the way you relate with your spouse, maybe don't
take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Maybe don't take their counsel.
Right. And I do want to clarify that, you know, when we're talking about this, we're not saying that the friends you confide in need to have this over the top, ultra positive view of marriage, because that's not real.
We don't have any perfect friends, and our friends don't have any perfect friends either.
Right. And nobody has perfect marriage.
No.
We really don't want our confidants, I'm having a hard time with that word today, to sugarcoat, you know, the difficulties and challenges marriage can bring. But what we want is that realism is always offered with hope. Distinct difference between a friend who understands that married life won't be perfect and a friend whose overall view of marriage is pessimistic. So I think that's the big thing right there.
Right.
All right. So do they esteem marriage?
Mm-hmm.
The second question is, Does this friend view the opposite sex with respect? You know, so it's important to have friends who aren't into male bashing or, you know, degrading women. Friends who can acknowledge that sin, you know, isn't a male or a female problem. It's a human problem, you know, and they speak well of the opposite sex and they value them.
Right.
I mean, I mentioned already that, you know, Jesus said that, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. And I think that how someone perceives the opposite sex will find its way into their words.
Right. It's you know, in the first point, it's about how they're talking about marriage. And, you know, it's specifically a person that you're, you know, in a marriage relationship in of the opposite sex. And in this case, it's more general speaking, not within the context of marriage, but just in general, how are they talking or acting toward those of the opposite sex? And if they're disrespectful or dismissive or whatnot, you know, it's going to seep into the way you interact with your spouse.
Right. Well, and the reason that this is really important is, you know, say, for example, that I share with a friend a challenge that we're having in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And say that she holds a negative view of men in general. She's going to be more likely to encourage me to question your motives and actions in a way that encourages division between us.
Gotcha. She might just say, that's just the way men are.
Right.
And it might... Your husband's a man. He's just a typical man.
Yeah. And it might not even be intentional, but her view of men is going to influence her understanding of the situation.
And how's that helpful?
It's not. But if she has an overall positive, respectful attitude toward men... She's going to be more likely to believe the best about you and direct my affections towards you and not away from you. So, I mean, that view is going to come out in how a friend interprets a situation and then responds or reacts to it.
At the same time, keeping in mind that every individual, whether a man or a woman, is a sinner.
Right.
And your spouse is a sinner.
Right.
Bound to sin.
Yeah, well.
But at the same time, there's, you know, we're called to respect the opposite sex, the same sex.
Right. Well, and it could be a difference between a reaction like, ugh, what a jerk, you're so right to have been upset in that situation.
Feeding your discontent.
Right. Or, ugh, I am so sorry that
you
he
found
did
yourself.
That.
Right.
But maybe we should try to see this from his perspective. Or maybe he messed up and you can practice some grace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about these. I'm not talking about huge issues that maybe you need to go see a counselor for.
Right.
I'm talking about day-to-day challenges in marriage.
Right, right. We have known people who've sabotaged their marriages. And so we're not talking about those circumstances.
Right. Yeah. This is a lot of the things that we're talking about on this podcast are not practical things to do if your marriage is in crisis.
Right.
It's really marriage maintenance and being proactive in keeping a strong, healthy marriage.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in... Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Okay, so the third one we can ask is, does this friend build up my marriage or just me? And this goes a bit further from the last one in that, you know, Proverbs 27:6 says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. So we want friends who will lovingly tell us when we're wrong and when we need to apologize. Not just friends who will listen to what we're saying and say, oh, what a jerk. You were so right to respond in this manner. Whereas a faithful, true friend might say, yeah, he didn't act very well in that situation, but your response didn't help. Maybe you should start by apologizing for how you responded, and maybe that'll move his heart. You know?
I know you're probably not intending to go where I want to go, but, you know, we've got to be the same way. You know, if somebody comes to us and they're sort of unburdening themselves and sharing a difficult situation they're experiencing in their marriage, you know, we've got to try to do that. We've got to, you know, affirm them and encourage them, but also perhaps their response was poor, and it's a challenge to tell a friend, your spouse did something bad, you know, screwed up, it sounds like, but you know, maybe your reaction, like you said, maybe your reaction was not the best and not the most helpful and just escalated the issue.
Yeah. No, that's good.
So we can be good friends too.
Right. We can apply these same things when we're interacting with people. And I know, you know, I have a friend who I might be sharing a frustration, and she is not afraid to do this.
And, I know what you're talking about.
You know, I might at first be a little taken off guard. Not anymore, because I know she'll do this now. Maybe the first time. But I so appreciated it because she's looking out for our marriage. She is just being a faithful friend. And I mean, I'm more likely to go back to her and confide in her again because I see the beauty of it. And I have been challenged to come home and go, okay, yeah, let me try that the next time we have a similar situation. Let me try to see it from Ted's perspective, or let me respond in that way.
So what if we're that kind of friend? What if we're the kind of friend who challenges those who, you know, our friends who talk to us and share whatever situation they're going through? That might inspire them to be the same way.
Yeah.
So maybe if we want friends like that, we can be the friend like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right. We'll do a friendship inventory on ourselves too and say, okay,
no,
what kind of friend am I being to others? So you can ask yourself these same questions. I think, yeah, that's good. You're taking it somewhere I hadn't planned on.
Well,
but
I'm really thinking about what you're saying. It's a great concept. Yeah, it's a very important thing to think about.
Okay. So what if you already, here's a question. Say that though you know, those listening, what if they go through this list on, you know, someone who's already a close friend who they already confide in, and they're like, ooh, they do not meet these things. They don't do these things. Now, I'm not saying that if you're listening and that's your response, that you need to stop being friends with this person or stop confiding in them. I think you need to wisely maybe talk to them, maybe use a communication sandwich and say how much you value and love them. But this is what you really need. You would love for them to be encouraging when it comes to your marriage and help you grow and change.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, they could just not consider you the kind of friend that they would feel comfortable counseling, like not a real deep, true friend. And so they are being goofy and lighthearted and dismissive and really not investing a lot.
Or negative.
Right. But maybe if you mention to them, you know, I'd like, you know, the words that I hear from you to be a little more encouraging, a little more, you know, respectful. Maybe that'll make them feel good. Like you actually want a depth in the friendship with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So this is not an encouragement to get rid of current friends.
Maybe, but not necessarily.
Right. I would say the first step is to pray and wisely try to talk to your friends and go from there. So the other question is, for those listening, what if you're like, well, I don't have any friends like that. Where do I get friends like that? So for us,
I have some ideas.
You have some, share your ideas.
Well, we have moved a time or two. And whenever we come to a new location, our thought is we have friends that we just haven't met yet. And the easiest place to find friends I've found is church, right?
Well, if you're looking for these kind of friends.
These kind of friends, right.
If you're looking,
can find them at work or at the gym or, you know, sports or whatever. But, you know, the kind of friends that we need in our lives typically are found at church, you know?
Right. And I think you have to be, like, we've always made sure that when we're seeking out a church, that it's a church that values marriage. Because if the church values marriage and esteems it,
right,
then
the people that are involved
are more likely to. Mm-hmm. But you can't just go on Sunday mornings and
watch
on TV and expect to make, you know, these kind of friendships that deepen into a place where you can speak into each other's lives.
Right. In most cases, it doesn't just happen.
Right. You have to be intentional. You have to get involved. Small groups are a great way to do that. Sometimes at our previous church, it took us a while. It took longer to try to find a small group where we found those kind of friendships. At our current church, we were very fortunate in being able to jump right in and, you know, find friends that I feel like could be these kind of friends that can speak into our life and our marriage in this way.
Some of them are at the same stage of life with the same age kids. Their kids are older. Some are younger.
Yeah.
So we can, you know, they're peers, but they're also mentors there, and we're kind of mentors to some as well. So it's good to be part of a group where you can have different relationships.
Right. Yeah. And I bring up that it took us a while at our previous church because if you're listening and it takes you a while, like you go to a small group and you're like, oh, this is not a good fit. Keep trying. Because I mean, the friend that I mentioned that has been unafraid to challenge me at times was in our small group from that first church that I mentioned, but it took a while to get to that group. So, all right. So to review.
Yes.
The friends we keep do make a difference in our marriages. So it's important that we're purposeful in whom we confide in. So we can determine which friends to confide in by asking ourselves three questions. Do they esteem marriage? Do they view the opposite sex with respect? And do they build up my marriage and not just me? And as we also talked about, we can ask ourselves these questions too to see if we're being that kind of friend. Because just like we need that kind of friend, other people need that kind of friend. And as you said, Ted, we could be that kind of friend. And if we don't have friends like that but want them, we can get involved in a church that esteems marriage, you know, and seek out those friendships.
It might be a big step if you're part of a church that just isn't. It's a big step and potentially offensive to your current church, but you know, it may be necessary to find a new church.
Right. And sometimes
for the sake of your marriage.
Sometimes maybe you're in a really big church and you need a smaller church because you're having a hard time connecting.
And that's what we've done.
Right.
It's not as polished, but it's a great fit for us.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, do we have an S time challenge?
We certainly do.
So what is our S time challenge? You know what?
Yes.
I think I'm going to change our S time challenge based on what we talked about. I think that those of you listening, instead of starting with a friendship inventory that looks at your friends, give yourself the friendship inventory and figure out if you're being this kind of friend. Maybe even talk to your spouse about it.
Wow.
Talk to each other and say, hey, do you think I show this in my words and the way I act? Do I respect the opposite sex? Do I esteem marriage?
That's good. You know, I sort of see myself as lighthearted and sort of goofy sometimes. And I can say things that are absurd just to get a laugh.
But, and shock.
And
shock value. Yeah.
But I need to look at the way I've been talking with my friends about marriage. I want to say that I've been respectful of marriage and of you and of the opposite sex and so on. But that's good. That's helpful. I need to evaluate myself. And maybe we can talk after the podcast is done. See if I've been a little too goofy in the area of, you know, speaking about marriage and speaking about the opposite sex and so on.
Good. So, well, sounds like we're going to do the S time challenge too.
That's good.
Good. Well, we hope this was encouraging and helpful to you. And remember, we're cheering on your team us.
The Team Us podcast is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed Ted and Ashley's conversation today, would you leave the show a rating and review in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find the show. This podcast was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. To find more faith-filled, encouraging podcasts like this one, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.